Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The MMA Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. Bet $100 at WynnBET and get a $100 free bet. Head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. We're also brought to you by IPVanish. IPVanish is the official VPN of SGPN, and they're offering 70% off if you go to IPVanish.com/SGP. That's IPVanish.com/SGP. And make sure to check out Draft Day 2.0, starting August 9th at noon Pacific. Ryan Real Money Kramer will be drafting for 24 hours straight. The Fantasy Football Marathon will raise money for Daryl, a loyal listener who is injured in a motorcycle accident. So head on over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draftday for more details.
Howdy ho, Jen Arenos. Welcome to the MMA Gambling Podcast and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, episode 184. That's dedicated to Sweaty Bets, who, a very good name, who gave us a review on Apple Podcasts saying, you're not going to find a more complete MMA podcast. They do it all, regional stuff, UFC, Bellator, Contender Series, especially Contender Series. Thank you for the review, and it is app right now, because this is one of our much beloved Contender Series episodes. So thank you for that review. And as a reminder, if you want to win a $50 gift card to our swag store, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/store, give us a review. We're going to randomly pick one and give you a $50 gift card to the store. So you can get the Tuesday night miracle shirt with our one and only Gumby God on it. So I'm not Gumby though. I am Jeff Chalks Fox, the man that sets up Gumby with for all his winning picks. This is the episode that will restore our faith in him as a Tuesday night savior. We're breaking down week three of the Contender Series from the UFC Apex. So let's bring in the man himself, the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland.
Well, you didn't give me anything to riff off of. You just told me that we're going to restore my abilities to make great picks. And that seems obvious.
Just say hi and agree then. That's fine.
Hi, and I agree.
You don't have to worry anything. Come on. What was the issue last week? People didn't sacrifice enough things to you? Because they're talking about having to sacrifice to the God. Do they not sacrifice enough? Is that why we had some issues with the picks last week?
You know, I've thought a little bit about some of the picks and why they didn't come through. I believe it was Chad in the Discord who said, you know, is there a chance that, like, the pep talk that Dana White gave the fighters could have forced them to fight a little bit more differently than they usually do. I think that might have been the case with Francis Marshall and why he, like, was so confident in his hands against Conor Matthews. I'll also say, in a wild turn of events, my pick Shannon Ross, who I expected to win his fight pretty easily, it turns out the reason the body shots were hurting him so much was that he had appendicitis wound up having to have emergency surgery shortly thereafter. And according to a report from John Morgan from mixedmartialarts.com, he said that Shannon Ross now has a UFC contract. So we actually gave out six last week, if you count Shannon Ross. So, you know, like all said and done, I picked a guy who got a contract anyway. And, you know, there was one or two in there that that maybe fought a little bit differently than I thought they would.
Yep. Let's recap the week very quickly before we give you winning picks for this week. I want to tell you, speaking of winning, I want to tell you about Win before we get into that. Thinking of joining WinBet, now is the perfect time. New customers who bet $100 get a $100 free bet. If you're betting baseball, you have to check out WinBet. Their reduced juice in baseball games makes them the best place to bet MLB. Plus, WinBet Casino is always open 24 hours a day where you can get 100% deposit bonus up to $1,000. There's so much to choose from, and all you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/winbet. So they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET to claim your free bet today. Offer subject to change. Terms and conditions at winbet.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WinBet is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. And it's that time of year again. Draft Day 2.0 is right around the corner. Ryan, Real Money Kramer, one of the bosses here, will be drafting fantasy football best ball teams for 24 hours straight, as he did, just like he did last year. The draft with Ryan and a ton of special guests. All the details are at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft day. sportsgamblingpodcast.com/draft day. And Dan and I have been kicking around thinking about doing, what, a week straight on the podcast possibly? And we're going to go through every person who ever fought in the UFC until we're done.
I do like the idea that you threw out there of possibly just having you give me somebody random, like like Nick Denis. Do you remember Nick Denis?
I remember the name.
His nickname was the Ninja of Love.
Oh my God, I don't remember that.
Yeah, and he won with like fun elbows inside the clinch in his first fight, got brutally knocked out in his second fight, and then like I think moved off of the grid to like just be a dude and was like really worried about brain injury after his first loss. So he just kind of disappeared into the wind.
There you go. Worried about Gumby's brain after his picks last week, but just kidding. No, it was a segue. I had to do a segue. Dan went 2-3, which is not what we expect from our God. Lost $135. So on the year, he's 5-4 and down money, but that's going to change this week. He hit a big dog in the main event, Chris Duncan plus 135. So that kind of saved your bacon.
Yeah, and I think if you were in the Discord, I think everybody, again, not wise to just go $100 blindly on every single pick, but like I'm pretty sure everybody was more heavily on Chris Duncan than just about anybody else trying to, like you said, save their bacon. I personally was much higher on Chris Duncan, and my goodness, what a comeback win. I have to touch upon this. Did you see the broadcast of that episode of the Contender Series?
Yep.
When they were showing all of the reaction shots afterwards, you know, they show Lorisenko at the table going, and, you know, they show the slow motion. They pan to the fans and in like a family. And it very clearly was Charlie Campbell's family. The guy who is winning by a mile was like on the verge of getting his UFC contract and then got slept in one of the most brutal manners anybody has. And they showed the whole thing without like realizing that it was the family of the guy who got knocked out. It was really brutal.
Not good at all. But the pick was good. He hit that. As you mentioned, you lost in the Shannon Ross one. You lost on Matthews.
Yep.
Francis Marshall decided he's a striker now and pieced up Matthews. You got the big guy one right. Cortez Acosta beat Suzart, and he already has another fight booked, right? He's fighting Vandera, I think.
I think I saw that he was fighting Vandera, but they've been haggling on the date, I think, because Vandera wanted more time to prepare or something. I'm not quite sure, but yeah, like they're haggling a little bit on the date, but yeah, he's already booked. Him and Joe Pfeiffer already have fights.
Yep. And then Billy Goff beat Shimon Smotrinsky. So Dan has Smotrinsky at big plus 200. So that's second crack at a contract for Smotrinsky, and he did not get it again.
Yeah. And, you know, like this was another one where that theory about like, did they fight outside of their element a little bit? Like he's always been like a really patient kind of like karate style kicker. And like, he was definitely more aggressive than that. So I do wonder if that fucked with him, especially cause he's like 21. Right. So like, if it's going to mess with somebody, that's the type of guy it's going to mess with.
Any other thoughts on any of the fights I went through quickly or not? I guess you've touched on all of them, basically.
Yeah, we touched on all of them, and we talked a little bit about them last Wednesday. But yeah, like Francis Marshall is one who really went above and beyond and really impressed me. Like, I think he's got a really bright future because, like, we saw his hands, and we didn't even really get to see how good his wrestling is, and it is really phenomenal.
So there you go. Back again, week three. Five fights as per usual. We got our first female fight on the season as well. Before we go fight by fight, overall thoughts on this week coming up, the talent level, competitiveness of matchups, that type of thing.
There's some weird ones in here because there's a lot of people low on MMA experience but high on martial arts experience, so that's really hard to handicap sometimes. We also got a guy in here who disappeared for like 3 or 4 years, 3.5 or 4 years from the MMA scene to just do like Muay Thai fights in Brazil, and then came back weighing 115 pounds heavier, which is wild shit. So trying to figure out exactly what he is weird. But that being said, you know, like the people who are kind of low on MMA experience are kind of interesting, at least at the very least. And then there are two prospects that I'm quite high on who I think should win pretty easily and are ones to keep eyes on too.
Well, let's dive into it and find out who that might be. We'll start with the females, women's strawweight, Sandra Lovato versus Carolyn Wojcik. Peru versus Poland. We've got Lovato first. She's 10-2 with 4 submissions, never been finished in a fight. She won 3 straight fights and 5 of 6. She's 5 inches taller than Wojcik, plus 220. Wojcik is the Polish assassin, right?
I think it's Polish, but yeah.
Oh, she's it's not Polish? Okay. Another assassin. This is like what? Our fourth in the past like week or two.
And we got we got another one coming up next week in the UFC too, right? David Onama is the silent assassin.
Yes, correct. Yes. Yeah. Wow. So many assassins. How are we going to survive? All right. This assassin, Polish apparently, assassin, 8-2 with 2 knockouts, never been finished in a fight, won 3 straight fights and 5 of 6 as well, just like her opponent, Lovato. She's not fought since April 2021, minus 225. So tell us what you know about these ladies.
So I personally am in here pretty heavily on Karolina Wojcik for a couple of reasons. Number one, if she's very quick, even for a strawweight, like her hands are fast, and her wrestling skills are very apparent. I tried to look and see if she had like a wrestling background or if she, you know, she came from some sort of wrestling program or maybe she was an amateur wrestler or, you know, like even if she had some like Abu Dhabi background, but like I couldn't find anything, but it looks really clearly like she has some sort of wrestling background because she up against the cage and clinches, she's got great head pressure. She uses her head extremely well. She switches in between the singles and doubles. She gets takedowns down around the legs and hips, and she like locks her hands well and picks women up and slams them. She's got great advantages there, and she also is like a little bit faster. Lovato, man, I had a tough time breaking her down because like I've seen a bunch of her fights, and I'm never quite sure she knows what she wants to do. I watched one of her fights one time, and she spent the entire first round, every time her opponent clinched her, she like spazzed out to try to get out of the clinch and threw like a whole bunch of like spazzy right hands and like, you know, just swung wildly to get out of the clinch, and it worked. And she spazzed to get out of the clinch nonstop for a whole round. And then in the second round, she immediately tried to clinch her opponent. And I was just like, does she know what she wants? And she looked good in the clinch. That being said, she's got like good, she's like a upper body lock takedown kind of person in the clinch. And she's got good ground skills. I just don't think she's going to be able to wrestle Wojcik. And I think Wojcik is way faster with the hands too. So Wojcik is a piece here. You said negative 225. I've seen her as low as like negative 205. I think she actually posted up near negative 300. So she's coming down a little bit. You might want to wait a little bit on her, but she'd also kind of be like a nice piece for a parlay here.
Throw her in a parlay is what he's trying to say. All right. So we got a first pick. It's a very anti-Gumby pick. It's a big favorite. So let's see what we got here. Men's flyweight. Next, Clayton Carpenter versus Edgar Chavez. Arizona versus Mexico, where these gentlemen are from. Arizona's a country, apparently. All right. Let's tell you about Chavez first. He's pitbull. That's just what we need. Another pitbull in MMA. Like we don't have enough pitbulls as it is. So he's 7-3, 4 knockouts, 3 submissions. So he's finished all of his opponents. He's been submitted himself twice. He's won 2 straight fights, 3 of 5. Last two fights have been via TKO. He was the Combate champion. He's 2 inches taller than Carpenter, plus 240. Carpenter, concrete. No, that's very confusing. You can't be a concrete carpenter.
I love it. Not, I think it's a great
wood.
I think it's a great nickname. The concrete
wood carpenter. Would be an amazing nickname, though. The concrete carpenter. Good luck with that. He's 5-0, 2 knockouts, 2 submissions. He's won 2 straight fights via finish. Minus 275 is all I have for him because he's barely fought.
Yeah. So first of all, I the number has come down a little bit on Carpenter too. He was up like negative 305, 310 when he posted. I really like Carpenter in this spot. It's actually one of the ones me and John talked about before the Contender Series even started. Clayton Concrete, who is on my radar. The thing I like about him and the thing that's going to make him perfect for Contender Series is he's all about pressure. He doesn't always have the cleanest striking defense, but he sort of makes up for it by like putting his opponent back on their heels all the time. He's got good strikes, great power, but also he's like wrestling works really well because he's constantly got guys moving back, and his wrestling defense is definitely better than his striking defense. His wrestling defense, he's got like a nice hard wizard that he uses to get good positions and all that kind of stuff. Chaires is there's a couple of things I don't like about Chaires. The first one is that this is on short notice because Clayton Concrete was supposed to fight in week 2 of Contender Series, or possibly even week 1. He was supposed to fight Stephen Ursig, who's a Australian guy who I'm sort of just assuming is having trouble with his visa in getting over here. So Carpenter instead is fighting Edgar Chaires. The thing about Chaires is that like he's got like a good sharp jab and like clearly has boxing skills, but he has a bad problem with like overextending himself all the time. Like he throws so much spinning shit and it is so obvious it's coming. And like, I've seen him get his back taken twice in the same fight by throwing the same spinning back kick or the same spinning back elbow and like just having it not land and giving his back up. And in addition to that, like all of the spinning and like kind of the crazy stuff he likes to do, it tires him out. So when you pair that with the fact that Clayton Carpenter has got such phenomenal cardio and such great pressure, I just think Chaires is going to like tire out, and like the short notice thing might, expedite that, might make it even worse. So, I've got Carpenter all day here. He wouldn't be a bad piece, in a parlay with Wojcik. You probably get damn
throw
near close.
In a parlay.
You'd probably get damn near close to, even money with those two together. So that might not be the worst play.
Dan's playing matchmaker now, throwing people together in parlay. So, all right, there's another big favorite Dan's going with. So he's turning more and more into me every episode. I like to see it. If you are online making these bets, make sure you're using IPVanish. Did you know that browsing online using incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? That's right. Without added security, you might as well give away all your private data to hackers, advertisers, your ISP, and other prying eyes. That's why I use IPVanish VPN to make it easy to stay truly private and secure on the internet. IPVanish helps you safely browse the internet by encrypting 100% of your data. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. It's that simple. You can use IPVanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, tablets, phones, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. Whether I'm at home or in public, I don't go online anymore without using IPVanish. IPVanish is offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for our listeners with a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's just like getting 9 months for free. IPVanish is super easy to use. All you have to do is tap one button and you're instantly protected. You won't even know it's on. Stop sharing with the world everything you stream, everything you search for, and everything you buy. Take your privacy back today with the brand rated 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. So go to ipvanish.com/SGP. Use promotional code SGP and claim your 70% savings. That's ipvanish.com/SGP. And I want to tell you about OddsTracker. What is OddsTracker, you ask? OddsTracker is a place to compare odds from all major sports books. You can also compare the different sign-up codes and promotions from sportsbooks to get the best deal. The app also provides player statistics, key game stats, injury reports, and projected game day weather for bettors to make the most informed bets possible. It also has a bet tracker so bettors can keep records of all your games and betting activity. So go to oddstracker.com/bluewire. OddsTracker, the number one site for all your game day bets. All right, let's jump into the next one. We are going from flyweights up a little bit to featherweights. Anvar, oh, here's a good name, Dan. Boynazarov.
Boynazarov.
Boynazarov. versus Eric Silva, which is everyone's name in MMA. Like I said, featherweights. We've got let's break it down. Who am I going to tell you about first? Let's tell you about the Uzbek, who's Boynazarov.
Boynazarov.
He's 3-0 with 3 knockouts. He is a pro kickboxer / Muay Thai fighter. I'm guessing he's not the one that gained 110 pounds, though, because he only weighs 145 now, so probably not. He beat Giga Chikadze in kickboxing, if you recognize that name. He's 2 years younger than Silva, plus 135 in him. Silva is the king, apparently. I don't know what he's the king of, but he's the king of some jurisdiction, apparently. He's 8-1, 2 knockouts, 4 submissions. He's been submitted one time. He's won 7 straight fights, 5 straight via finish. He was the regional champ, minus 138. Go ahead.
So this one's interesting to me. Boynazarov is one of those guys who's kind of hard for me to get a read on because he's only 3-0, and I've seen a couple of his fights of those 3 fights, but you look at the quality of the opponent he's fighting and it's low. It's what you would expect. 4-2, 1-10, 0-0. 1-10 being the one of my favorite guys in MMA, which is Rob Fuller. If you don't know about Rob Fuller, you've never been to a Northeast show, because that dude always winds up on shows in the Northeast when somebody backs out. He's now moved. Rob Fuller's now moved to 2-16 on his career since then, which includes a loss to Conor Matthews. Great name for Boynazarov to have on his record. So he hasn't fought very many people. And what I've seen from him, really patient. His early strikes seem like, like his feeling out strikes are kind of on the slower side. But then he speeds up when he starts to feel comfortable. He's got all the things you'd expect a kickboxer to have: great power, great timing. He's quick when he wants to be. A little bit slow getting going and probing his opponents out and figuring out the distance. But once he's got it figured out, he looks good. He timed a really nasty knee in one of the fights I watched and got a knockout that way. But here's the problem. He's fighting a guy in Eric Silva who is very good on the mats. He is very good on the mats, and he knows he's good on the mats too. I would say the biggest worry here for Silva is whether or not he abandons his usual game plan, which is get somebody to the mat pretty quick and choke him out. He's got a great rear naked choke. He's got really good transitions. He's one of those guys who, when he gets you down, he is actively looking for a submission, but it doesn't mean he gives up position really easily. He's able to do both quite well. I actually think if he just gets one takedown, he's going to win this fight. So I'm going to go with Silva here. I'm going to go with the favorite. I know some people are going to be high on Boynazarov because he's a fun kickboxer. Like you said, he's got a split decision win over Giga Chikadze, which isn't nothing. But I would say the popular play on this one is probably just the fight ends inside the distance, because Eric Silva, great submission artist, Boynazarov, great kickboxer. I got to imagine one of them is just going to get it done. So I think the inside the distance prop here is probably the easiest. I know they haven't posted those yet, but that's definitely what I'd be looking for.
All right. Dan is big on the props and the parlays this week. So, and the favorites. Let's move on to the co-main event, if there's such a thing on Contender Series. Big boys, heavyweights, Paulo Renato Jr. versus Jamal Pogues. Let's tell you about Renato Jr. He's 10-1, 7 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been submitted one time. He's won 9 straight fights. He's a regional champ, plus 250 on him. Pogues is the stormtrooper. He's 8-3 with 4 knockouts, 1 submission. He's been knocked out once, submitted twice. He used to fight at light heavyweight. He mostly fights at light heavyweight, from what I saw at least. He's won 4 of his last 5, including his last fight. However, he's not fought since September of 2020. He's 1-0 on the Contender Series already, 0-1 in Bellator, was a regional champ, 2 years younger than Renato, 3 inches taller, minus 275.
Wild fight, first of all, because there's so much to suss out here. First of all, Renato is the one who I was talking about. He used to be a welterweight. He's a welterweight, disappeared for a while, came back as a heavyweight kickboxer, if you look at him, he's not fat. It's not like when Jake Collier gained a bunch of weight and you're like, ooh, man, how did that happen, dude? He's just he looks like he became a man and just like has like broad shoulders now. I mean, he could have been juicing to the gills. That could be the other thing too. But like, he's not like overly muscly, but he just like looks like he got big. So Hanato is weird in that regard because he didn't fight MMA for nearly four years. And then he showed back up. Since then, he's 3-0 with a bunch of finishes against kind of shitty competition. Where in like so shitty that like the organization doesn't even have video. So it's like hard to see what he looks like now. I've watched a couple of his recent kickboxing fights, like fun leg kicks and like decent hands. I'm not gonna say good hands, but like decent hands. So like I have a tough time figuring out what he is. With that being said, I'm gonna take him anyway because I'm fading Pogues here for a lot of reasons. First of all, like you said, he's almost exclusively fought at light heavyweight. Yeah. He's fought one time at heavyweight in like the last 5 years or something like that. It was against a debuting heavyweight, which by the way, that late in your career fighting a debuting heavyweight, wild. That heavyweight has now moved on to be 0-4, and he was a 5'10" heavyweight. So like that's the only heavyweight Jamal Pogues has beat. In addition to that, he's also taking this fight on short notice. Paulo Hanato was originally supposed to fight Kai Machado, who is the BTV champion. I thought he was going to fight the BTV champion. He didn't fight him. Now Pogues is stepping in. So it's short notice. Going to be the smaller guy. Also, the other thing is, like, he does most of his work in the clinch, including his takedowns. You don't want to do that if you're fighting a Muay Thai guy. You're going to be eating knees. So I'm going to take the big dog money here on Hanato Jr.
That is a big one. So there you go. People who are disappointed in the all the favorite picks, there you go. There's your dog.
I got some bad news. I got some bad news for you in the main event.
Main event. Yeah, no kidding. Middleweights, Zachary Borrego versus Bo Nickel. Or is it Nickel? It's Nickel, right?
It's Nickel, yeah.
Yes, because he's American. Borrego is the dragon. He's 4-0 with 3 knockouts. Inch of height, 2 inches of reach on Nickel. Nickel, I'm saying it weird anyway. Plus 810. Bo Nickel, 1-0 with 1 knockout. A championship wrestler at college and internationally. Minus 1350. So tell us about these boys, Dan.
So I actually had to go look up Zachary Borrego because he wasn't on my radar. Okay. Just not at all.
That's not a good thing.
Yeah, the combined record for his opponents, 5-10. He's 3-0. It looks like he's got a really good right hand and a really good like left kick to either the body or the head. Here's the problem. He switches stances, and that lets you know which strike he's throwing. If he's standing orthodox, the big right hand is coming. The minute he switches to southpaw, the left kick is coming. Like, and it I watched a couple of his fights, and I was like, he's going to do it again, isn't he? It was like almost like shocking that I picked it up so fast, and it just kept happening anyway. And of course, his opponents being, bad opponents, didn't pick up on it and just kept getting hit with it. Bo Nickel, dude, you can't say enough things about this guy's wrestling pedigree. Like it is insane. He's a 3-time Big Ten champion. He's a 3-time national champion in collegiate wrestling. Like we talk about MMA fighters as being D1 wrestlers, right? And we throw that all into the same pot. Sometimes they're not in the same pot. Bo Nickel is way above all of them. He actually was one match away from qualifying for the Olympics. He lost to David Taylor in the 2020 qualifiers, the UFC qualifiers. David Taylor won the gold medal in Tokyo. So like the only person who stopped him from getting to the Olympics was the guy who won the gold anyway. So that tells you the level he was at. Like he could have possibly been the guy, he edges out David Taylor. We're probably talking about Bo Nickel gold medalist at that point. So like he is, and on top of all of that, he's learned how to mesh it with the striking. He looked really good with a big knockout punch in his last fight. I got questions about like, is his defensive striking good enough? Like, I'd like to see his hands a little bit higher or him like a little bit safer defensively. But like, I don't think Borrego is the guy who's going to give him trouble there. I kind of hope he doesn't change his style to try to impress Dana White. Cause like, if you're going to give Borrego a chance, it's like letting him throw that bomb repeatedly and letting him throw those kicks repeatedly. So I hope Nickel just does what he's phenomenal at, which is like world-class wrestling, and he just like subs him or TKOs him with ground control, because it's not like the UFC doesn't know what they have with Bo Nickel. Like they're just ready to sign him to a developmental deal, or if he looks good enough, put him right in there with middleweights they know he can beat.
Yeah, I've been hearing the developmental deal. People have been speculating that's probably what would happen with him, like they did with Greg Hardy.
Yeah, I think personally the reason they brought him along is that, like, there's nothing in the world Bellator loves doing more than signing an unproven collegiate wrestler. You know, like they did that with Aaron Pico. Aaron Pico was 0-0, never stepped foot in a cage. They signed him to a big long-term deal. I think the UFC knows that, like, Bo Nickel would be on their radar then. And I think they know, because here's the other thing about Bo Nickel is he's not just like a world-class wrestler who has figured out how to use his hands by working with Jorge Masvidal all the time, but also, like, he's also, like, really marketable and, like, really, like, he's all on social media. He's really good about, you know, like, posting funny things. And, like, so, like, I think the UFC knows what they have with him. He's been fighting for Masvidal's promotion, if I'm not mistaken, in which is on Fight Pass now. So I think their thought is, like, we got to at least get him booked in a way where we have a developmental deal with him, because otherwise Bellator is going to offer him way too much money and either drive up the price for us or steal him altogether. So I think the UFC knows what they got, made a smart move, brought him in. But who knows? Like, he could go out there, look so phenomenal with his hands or something like that, that the UFC's like, hell, it's middleweight. I mean, he can beat some of these middleweights. Like, he, you know who he's fighting next weekend? Sam Alvey. Perfect.
Yes, perfect. Sam Alvey will never leave. So, all right, who's going to get contracts?
I definitely think Bo Nickel will get something of some regard. He could look awful in there, and they're going to link him up in some way, shape, or form. I also think, so here's my prediction. Clayton Carpenter and Wojcik will both get contracts. I think they both look super sharp. They're both heavy pressure people. They've got really great abilities. I think they're perfect. I think whoever wins the Eric Silva versus Boynazara fight is going to get a contract. I will say that's the one I'm probably, I guess the Hanato fight I'm not super, super confident in, but the Eric Silva one, I'm like a little bit worried that he gets caught coming in, but if he doesn't, he's going to look so good on the ground that they have to sign him. And if Boynazara catches him coming in, he's going to get a contract as well. The only way I could see the winner of that fight not getting a contract is if, like, Silva grapples the shit out of Boynazara for 2.5 rounds and Boynazara finds a way to survive and then lands a late knockout. They're just going to be like, oh, this guy can't grapple, and then won't sign him. But apart from that, like, I think the winner of that for sure gets a contract, because I think it's going inside the distance.
There you go. Which pick did you get wrong? Because you're gonna have one wrong again this week. So which one?
The big underdog? If I had to predict, I actually think, you know, the one I'm the least confident on, man, I am almost as lightly confident on Eric Silva as I am on Paulo Renato Jr. I lined all of these fights mentally and actually did all the little write-ups for them, which will be available on the sportsgamblingpodcast.com. I did all the write-ups for them before I looked at the odds. And when I saw Hanato was an underdog, I was like, wait, really? Like, I was very surprised, because, like, how does a short notice guy going up a weight class, who looks pretty shitty anyway, get to be a favorite over a guy who's an actual heavyweight? So, I'm a little bit weirded out by that. I think Eric Silva versus Boynazarov is probably the one I'm least confident on.
All right, there you go. You've been told, people. Anything else you need to say about this week coming up?
No, I think this is going to be a fun one. I will say, and this is kind of a sad one for me, I'm not going to be watching live with you guys in the Discord. This will be, I know, shocking. I'm going to be in Fenway Park watching a Red Sox Braves game, which is pretty fun.
Oh, Braves, good.
Yeah, it's a Braves game. So, the Sox have been pretty bad. I'm getting to see, Charlie Morton versus, old Dick Mountain, Rich Hill. And that should,
Uncle
that
Charlie.
Should, yeah, that should be a good one.
Yes, I guess that's a decent. Oh, you can still be in the Discord, even at the ball game. Everyone should be in the Discord.
I probably won't be at the ball game. I'm going to be watching 81 years of starting pitching on display.
It's true. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/Discord. Someone has to pick up the slack if Dan's not in there. Anything else? Twitter, SGP and MMA. Make sure you get there. Jeff Fox Writer, MI. He is Gumby Vreeland. As Dan said, his article, his write-ups on all these fights will be dropping maybe by the time you listen to this. It may be already on these sites, sportsgamblingpodcast.com. So check it out over there. And you can read my MMA stuff over at moneymma.substack.com as well. I'll have a couple articles later in the week for the UFC, which is what we will be covering next Wednesday. This Wednesday coming up, we will be doing the preview of UFC San Diego prelims. And then Thursday, we will drop the main card portion of that. So make sure you get in on that. I think that is it. Anything else you need to say, son?
I think we got it all.
All right. Until we speak again, I will remain the concrete carpenter, Jeff Fox. He will remain the Gumby God, Daniel Vreeland. And we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Bye.